So there you have it, boys and girls. That explains how Father Christmas, or Santa Claus, if you want to call him that, makes his way around the world in one night. If you tuned in late and you missed that, tough luck. But now, boys and girls, it's time for the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the short range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. How you been? This is the interactive bit. How you been? Okay. I see. And scene. Back to basics. One minute, kids. Back to basics. Right, so I've got a packed show for you. Just one thing, one little bit of housekeeping. Last episode, I talked about Same Old Lang Syne, the song by Dan Fogelberg. Scott Newman, as you may remember, wasn't a massive fan of it. But I said that I believed it was a Christmas classic. But I got this email from Dave McRae, and this is what he's put. I know you had a listener say that it gets radio airplay in the USA at Christmas time, but I think that might be a bit misleading. I've spent my career working in radio in the western part of the US and have been involved in programming for Christmas in the past. That song has never been in Christmas rotation at any station I've been with. That being said, I have occasionally heard other stations use it as a Christmas song. It could be a regional thing or unique to a specific station, but my experience is that it gets more airplay as a non-Christmas song than it does at Christmas. There may be stations that love it for Christmas, and that's my two cents based on my experience. So, boys and girls, I'm none the wiser. That just muddies the waters, doesn't it? I think it might be a regional thing. From what I could read, it did seem like it does get Christmas airplay. I don't know, though. I don't know. Do I care? I would like to know, actually. I suppose I do care. Yeah, not massively. I don't think I'll lose any sleep over it. I hope I don't. But what's interesting is that it gets airplay all year round. That song's 40-odd years old now, and it's still getting airplay. Fair play, Dan Fogelberg. Now let's do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is the Annoying Orange Christmas Carol. Well, I say Annoying Orange, the TV show was actually called The High Fructose Adventures of Annoying Orange. Now, Annoying Orange, who I imagine you may be familiar with or may not be, I don't know what's in your brain, do I? Can I look inside your ear and see an Annoying Orange in there and go, oh yeah, they're aware of what an Annoying Orange is? That's not how it works. But anyway, if you're not familiar with The Annoying Orange, it's a web show created in 2009 by Dane Bodigheimer, who had the username Danebo, and pretty much it's about an annoying orange. And the annoying orange tells crude jokes, makes naff puns, and loads of annoying noises and fart sounds and stuff. And that sort of stuff will get you 13.8 million subscribers on YouTube, apparently. Yeah, it's been running for 18 years on YouTube, and there's been 846 episodes. So because this was popular online, the Cartoon Network, they got wind of it, and they're like, oh, maybe we could do something with that. So in 2012, they released this show called The High Fructose Adventures of Annoying Orange. It ran for 2 years, two seasons, and there were 60 episodes in total. Now, the premise for the Cartoon Network show, a little bit different to the online web show. Not massively different, you know, still an annoying orange, but the setup was that it was a family of fruit and vegetables, so family, they weren't necessarily blood related, because one was a grapefruit, one was a pear. Well, I'm not going to go into all of them, but they live on a fruit stand in a supermarket called Danebo's Supermarket. See, did you get that from Danebo Deckerheimer? Yeah, anyway, so you've got annoying orange, then you've got pear, passion fruit, marshmallow, a little apple, a big apple, and a grapefruit. among others. There are others that turn up from time to time, but those are the key ones, I believe. I won't lie to you, this is the only episode I've seen of it. Sometimes, if I watch something like that, I think, oh, I'll watch a couple of other episodes, do a bit of research. No, I refuse to, in this instance. It wasn't worthy. So, they live in this supermarket, and they interact with only one human, and his name's Nerville, and he's played by Toby Turner, who was also a web star of sorts. Now, this show on IMDb has a rating out of 10 of 2.1, and you've got to be pretty bad to get only 2.1. But here's the thing, they had loads of guest stars on the show. Have a listen to this. This isn't all of them, this is just cherry picking a few of them. Dave Grohl, Tim Curry, Danny Trejo, Olivia Wilde, Jim Parsons, Patton Oswalt, Malcolm McDowell, Weird Al Yankovic, Alice Cooper, Billy Dee Williams, and also on Wikipedia it says Mark Hamill, but when I looked on IMDb it didn't say Mark Hamill, but that'd be pretty cool if Luke Skywalker was there. Anyway, this episode was called The Orange Carol, and it opens in the supermarket. There's no customers, I guess they've all gone home, the supermarket's closed, and you've got Nerville there, and he's dressed in like a Victorian outfit with like the old top hat and the long coat, and they're singing carols. And Orange is like sticking his tongue out and making silly noises. And Neville's like, stop, come on, sort yourself out, stop being annoying, which is difficult if your name's Annoying Orange. Anyway, so then they start singing Jingle Bells. Have a listen, this is Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way. All the way fun is to ride.
In a ham and cheese souffle. Hey!
No!
Yeah, and then they sing The 12 Days of Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, night you're lucky to me,
a partridge made of free cheese.
Yeah, do you know what annoyed me about that? Is when he did his silly line, everyone else stopped singing so that you could hear it. And I thought, well, that's not how it works in real life, is it? If someone sings a silly line, no one else is going to stop. They don't know the silly line's coming, do they? Yeah. This is poorly written. I was expecting a touch more realism in a show called Annoying Orange, where an anthropomorphic orange annoys people. Well, I was let down. Anyway, Nerville gets really annoyed and kicks him out. It's like, do you know what? You blew it, Annoying Orange. And Annoying Orange, this is, his laugh is just annoying. Actually, all of him's annoying, but the laugh is really annoying.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry, I don't even know where to begin. Cheese puns.
So, Annoying Orange goes home. He's in bed in his stocking cap, which I don't think anyone's ever really worn, have they? Not since Victorian times, surely. Never worn a hat to bed. I say never. There must have been a couple of times when I was camping and it was so cold I put a hat on. Anyway, he's laying in bed and the first ghost turns up. And originally, I thought this thing was a cherry. But having done the research, it turns out that it's a red delicious apple. But it's a very small red delicious apple. And they actually call him Midget Apple. And Orange spends a lot of time taking the mickey out of the little apple's size.
What's so funny? Why are you laughing? Because for a second there, I was actually scared of you a tiny bit. Hey, that's not a jab at how small I am, is it? Nope, not even a little. Stop laughing! I'll stop. Just give me a minute. Miniature.
So the apple's like, right, look, come and have a look at your past. Oh, sorry, I should have said at this point, it's not the ghost of Christmas past either. It's the ghost of annoyances past. But it's only showing annoyances at Christmas. So, you know, you tell me. So we see them 1 year ago. They're doing the carol singing and Orange can't stop talking about the word eggnog. Have a listen.
You know what's a funny word? Eggnog. Eggnog. What's a nog anyways? Nog.
So then they go back a year before that and he's talking about Yule log.
You know what's a funny word? Yule log. Yule.
And then they go back the year before that and he's talking about pajama bottoms.
Hey, you know what's a really funny word? Pajama bottoms! Pajama bottoms!
That's pretty much it from the Ghost of Annoyances past. And when he goes back to the present, like he wakes up, he's there loving it, all the silly words, and he keeps saying pajama bottoms. Then Pear comes along, and the Pear is the Ghost of Annoyances present. and Orange keeps saying pyjama bottoms, which actually is quite fun to say when you think about it. Is it annoying? I suppose if you say it too much. Anyway, they go and see the gang in the present, and they're all singing their Christmas carols, and we get this joke, which I really love. Have a listen.
Nerval and the rest of the gang are going around and singing carols to the whole store. See how everyone's enjoying themselves without you around?
Yeah, I see it. I see it under there.
Huh?
I see it under there.
Under where?
I made you say underwear.
Dude, would you cut it out?
And so Pear's annoyed with him because he made that joke. And Pear's like, do you know what? Forget it. I'll leave you to the final ghost. But the way he says it, have a listen to this, right?
I'll leave you to the final ghost, but I warn you,
he's not as friendly as I am.
Yeah. Do you know what? That reminded me of another version of A Christmas Carol, but I cannot for the life of me think which one. It just seems really familiar to me, that line. I'm sharing that with you as regular listeners who might watch almost as many versions of A Christmas Carol as me, and you might go, yeah, you're right, it's from this one. I don't know. Maybe it rung a bell with you. Maybe it didn't. Anyway, then we get this eggnog or nognog joke.
Hey, knock knock! Hello? Hey, knock knock! Knock knock! Who's there? Ghost who?
It's something, isn't it? It's something. And the ghost of annoyances yet to come turns up. Have a listen to this, though. Have a really close listen. It's not easy to make out, but have a listen. I'm sure it says the ghost of annoyance is present. Was that a slip of the tongue? Was no one checking in the edit? What else did they say? They're not saying future, and they're definitely not saying yet to come. I don't know. I don't know. Well, anyway, this time it's Marshmallow, not a fruit. Go figure. And Marshmallow takes him to the future, and they're all sat round, and he's just being annoying, saying nog over and over, or eggnog over and over and over. And one by one, the other fruits just decide to leave, and they're leaping into passing shopping baskets. Like people are pushing their trolleys past, and they're leaping in. Almost like, goodbye, cruel world, but not really. But, you know, that's what they're doing anyway. They all leave. And in the end, he's on his own. Have a listen.
I'm begging you. If you keep ignoring everyone, you're going to be alone on Christmas. Don't you see?
I guess you're right. I see it now.
You do?
I see it under there.
What?
Oh, no. I said I see it now. Oh, no. Don't do it, me. Under there.
Under where? Orange, you've broken my heart.
See? Like I said, I wasn't lying, was I? And then he says this.
Underwear is the funniest word.
Goodbye, Orange.
And the thing is, though, he actually seems happy. He doesn't seem bothered at all that everyone's left him, and he's just still quite happy on his own. Well, the one watching him from the present, like, you know, he's watching the future, and he's there going, oh, why did I do that? It's like, hang on a minute. How come future you doesn't seem bothered that everyone's gone, but you watching it makes you bothered that everyone's gone? Didn't really make a lot of sense to me, really. Anyway, then they go back to the present, and all the fruit are singing, and he joins in, and he doesn't do any silly words. And then we get this.
Oh, Orange, I'm glad you finally saw the light.
I sure did. And you know where I saw it?
I don't know. Where?
I saw it under... never mind.
Do you see what's happened? He's changed his ways. He doesn't do the cheap gag. What a great guy. And it ends with all the fruit being wheeled down the aisle in the cart by Nerville, and they're all singing their Christmas carols. And that's the end of it. And do you know what, boys and girls? Yeah, he's annoying, but it wasn't awful, actually. There's a couple of bits that made me laugh. So if you want to check it out, it's on YouTube. I watched it on YouTube and I enjoyed it. So maybe you should check it out on YouTube, and maybe you'll enjoy it. It's only 11 minutes of your life. I mean, if you're a Charles Dickens purist, it's probably not for you. But if you like a laugh, and you like Christmas, and you want to change, chuck it on. Or chuck it on for the kids, and you can sit in the background having a laugh. And I'll tell you what, I reckon I'll be using that underwear joke for my girls. Does that mean I'm as annoying as the annoying orange? Nog. Nug, nug, nug. Nug, 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 nug. Nug, 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 nug. Nug, 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 nug.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you ever notice how people will talk louder when they drink? I think that's why alcohol content is listed by volume. Now, it sometimes gets a little lonely examining why our two nations who share a common language will invent completely different ways to say the same thing. You know, the late hours, the painstaking research, the dusty reference books, and just when I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed, the fan mail arrives. That's right, fan mail, for Do You Hear What I Hear? Our own Benji Pearson was listening to Total Christmas and heard this segment and thought, I've got something to contribute. So Benji reached out to Jack to contact me, and he said this: has Bob ever talked about the word tick? Now, technically, some people might think this is just a listener asking a simple question, but read between the lines. You might be ignoring the obvious. I mean, I'm not one to bask in the spotlight, but I do think there's some recognition being clearly implied. So, Benji, this one's for you. And yes, I have thought about the word tick and its complicated use between the Brits and Americans, especially when I saw an advertisement for a Christmas sweatshirt called Naughty Tick in the Box. My Do You Hear What I Hear antenna was buzzing. My first thought was, why would anyone want to feature a blood-sucking parasite on their holiday apparel? For you see, in the United States, we use the word tick as in a small bug or when we get mad, like I'm ticked off. But in Britain, you don't check a box like we do in America, you tick it. Most Americans would understand tick the box, even if it does sound a bit foreign. We don't usually tick off a list of items, we check them off. See, there is the mark that one puts in a box. It is what we call a check mark in the US. You know, the symbol that looks like the letter V, but where the left side is a little shorter and the right side is longer and angled upward. It is used to show that either something has been taken care of, is correct, or to show that you've made a choice. This stroke is what in England they will commonly refer to as a tick. The term tick also has a few other British uses, like to indicate a short period or a moment of time. So where we might say, wait a sec, in America, they will say, just a tick. Or you can use the terms tick along or tick over to mean going along at a steady pace but without making progress. Or when you buy on tick, it is an expression meaning to buy something on credit or getting it now but paying for it later. This was derived from how a bartender would run a tab for a patron by making a mark on a piece of paper to indicate how many drinks they'd had. Other common phrases are tick box exercise or tick box mentality, meant to indicate a meaningless process. These are used to show a minimal completion of a list of requirements or a checklist, but done in a dull or a routine manner. So what we Americans might say is just checking the boxes. Now, tick originally meant to touch or pat, and it dates back to the early 13th century. From the Middle English verb tekken. In the 18th century, it evolved to mean a ticking sound. And later, it was used as a means to describe the passing of time or to tick away. The usage that means to enumerate or to make a mark besides an item on a list began in the late 19th and early 20th centuries when standardized forms, ballots, and administrative checklists became widespread. The expression grew out of this common clerical practice. It started to show up in print and speech as bureaucratic and office processes made the concept of ticking boxes a common practice. Now, there is one similar expression from the UK that Americans will say when something ticks as opposed to checks all the boxes. This generally means a person or a thing that delivers everything you need, which takes us all back to the naughty tick-in-the-box sweatshirt. What exactly was that all about? It showed an optional choice of either naughty or nice, with naughty being ticked or checked off, which would make me ticked off. Cheers and happy Christmas.
It's happened again, boys and girls. I'm away on holiday, so Bob sent his segments while I was away after I'd recorded. So I've no idea what Bob was just talking about, but I do know that it was very good, because it's always very good, and because Bob's a superstar. Don't you forget it. Great work, Bob. Now we're doing this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Boys and girls, this episode's song that we're going to be talking about is by Destiny's Child and it's called The 8 Days of Christmas.
You know, Christmas was made for the cheering. Destiny's Child. G Christmas, Destiny's Child.
I've said this loads of times. I tend to look at songs that aren't Christmas classics. Well, I think this one might be. I think this might get a lot of airplay. But it's not one that I've seen cropping up a lot. Maybe I've just missed it, or maybe I haven't. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to talk about it, because I want to. So, Destiny's Child, if you're not familiar, was... It's interesting, actually, because they did have a separate lineup. They had like 4 people when the first album came out. 2 of them left, and they were replaced by 2 other people, and then one of those left. So at the point that they got really famous, it was Beyoncé, Kelly Rowland, and Michelle Williams, and that's the lineup in this song when this was released. But before they were called Destiny's Child, they had a number of other names. Have a listen to this, right? Originally it was Girls' Time with a Y. That's cool. Then it was Something Fresh. Then it was Cliché. Then it was Borderline. Then it was The Dolls. And then it was Destiny, and then it was Destiny's Child. Anyway, their first single was released in 1997. That was on the 4 people lineup. They split up eventually in 2006, and they had estimated sales of 60 million records. So, this song was written by Beyoncé Knowles, Kelly Rowland, and Errol Pippi McCallagh Jr. It was written in 1999, and it was first included on the reissue in 2000 of their album Writings on the Wall, and then it was a B-side on the maxi CD single of Independent Woman Part 1. That's one of their biggest hits. But that Independent Woman Part 1 was August 2000, and it was a B-side on that. And then finally it gets its own release in 2001, and this was the lead single from their Christmas album, which was called 8 Days of Christmas. Same as the single, don't you know? So it starts off with a little bit of Jingle Bells. Have a listen. And then it gets into the song. I'll play a tiny bit for you because I don't want the copyright people giving me a telling off and slapping my wrist and stuff. Here we go.
Day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a pair of Chloe shades and a diamond belly ring. On the 7th day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a nice back rub, then he massaged my feet. On the 6th day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a crop jacket with dirty denim jeans. On the 5th day of Christmas, my baby gave to me the point that he wrote for me.
It's only 8 days of Christmas. Yeah, they haven't got the full 12. But these are the things that she gets given on the 8 days. Have a listen, right? So on the 8th day, she gets a pair of Chloe shades and a diamond belly ring. Well, I hope she's got her belly pierced. Well, that could be a bit useless. On the 7th day, she gets a nice back rub and he massages her feet. Well, that would have saved him a lot of money, wouldn't it? A lot of money. That's good. That's handy. Well done. The 3rd day, she gets a crop jacket with dirty denim jeans. What, did he find him in a skip? Or a dumpster, as you might call it? Oh, they'll do. What happened there? It's like 1 minute he's getting her some expensive shades and a diamond belly ring. Next minute he's just skip diving or dumpster diving to get her a jacket and some jewelry. Who am I to complain? She seems pretty happy with him. She says this.
Feel so in la, 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 love.
Yeah, I say she, it's they, and it's three of them. Anyway, on the fifth day, she gets the poem that he wrote for her. That's very nice, isn't it? Thoughtful. On the fourth day, it's a candlelit dinner for me and my honey. And when I say me and my honey, it's her and her honey. It's her and him. He's paying for dinner, pretty much. On the third day, it's a gift certificate for her favourite CDs. Her favourite CDs. Not the ones she doesn't like. No, the favourite ones. So well done with that. Gift certificate. Yep, thinking outside the box there, wasn't he? I shouldn't knock gift certificates. I actually do think gift certificates are a nice idea, to be honest. On the second day, talk about escalation. 1 minute he's handed her some blooming vouchers. Here you go, go and get some CDs. The second day, he's given her the keys to a CLK Mercedes. Although, it does say it's only the keys. So she might not actually get the whole car. It might literally just be the keys. If that's the case, it's not the best gift, really. In fact, it's a pretty bad gift. Yeah. But on the first day, she gets some quality time. Right, so what she's saying is, on the other 7 days, no quality time, none at all. Not the back rub and the foot rub, that wasn't quality time. The candlelit dinner, that wasn't quality time. On the first day, that's quality time. Are we meant to think that the quality time's like a really good thing? Because shouldn't he be giving that to her every day? And that would save a lot of money. If that's the best thing, just give her quality time every day. Hopefully she'll be happy with that. This is one of the lines from the song. Have a listen.
How I love him for his generosity, my man, my baby.
Yeah, his generosity. I get it, love. He bought you a car. Of course you like him. If someone bought me a car, I'd like him. Goodness me. I tell you what, and he wouldn't have to worry about the back where I bought a poem. I wouldn't care about those either. To be honest, I'm not that bothered about a belly ring, even if it has got a diamond in it. Give me the car. I want the car. I'm not that bothered about the quality time either, to be honest. I could spend that quality time driving around on my own in my Mercedes. Nice. Now, in the song, it frequently asks this question. Well, I'd like to answer that. Here we go. No. To be honest, I think you're being a little bit materialistic. Well, I don't think it feels like Christmas because this song, it's not very festive. You haven't got any jingle bells in the background. The tune isn't a Christmassy tune. Well, hang on. You think it feels like Christmas. Why are you even bothering asking me? Was that a rhetorical question? You should have said that at the start. And definitely don't ask me 4 times before you go and tell me, yes, it does feel like Christmas. I bet it feels like Christmas. He's bought you a blooming car, hasn't he? Didn't buy me a car, did he? I should hope not. Be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Some bloke buying me a car out of nowhere. Anyway, the video is nothing special, to be honest. I mean, obviously, it's nice to look at three beautiful women running around. They're in a toy shop. They're all dressed in like the sexy Santa get-up, a little bit like Mariah Carey's wearing in All I Want for Christmas. They're all dressed in different versions of that, which, don't get me wrong, is delightful at Christmas. They're running around this department store, and there's a bit where they're going around on a carousel for some reason. Not quite sure what's going on there. What's that got to do with Christmas? I don't know. Apparently it does feel like Christmas, though, because I listened to the lyrics. And yes, it does feel like Christmas. And then at the end, a bunch of kids all come running into the store and they start giving them gifts and that. It's a nice enough video. It's pretty basic, but it's nice enough. But the song, it didn't actually do particularly well. I don't understand. But then on Wikipedia, it says it was a promotional single, but at the same time, it still hit the charts. So I don't know what it means. It got to number 185 on the charts in the UK, and in the US, it got to number 2 on the Bubbling Under chart. And I thought the Bubbling Under was like, if you're not in the top 100, you're in the Bubbling Under. I don't know. But this is the bit that really surprised me. Like I said at the start, I wasn't that familiar with this song, didn't think it was much of a classic. But at the very end of the article on Wikipedia, it says that Time Out magazine, and this is in 2022, okay? Time Out magazine ranked this the 22nd on the best 65 Christmas songs of all time chart. They did a list. I mean, that doesn't mean a lot, but at the same time, in 2022, the song would have been 20 years old, and they've put it at number 22 in their chart. But wait for this. In 2023, Cosmopolitan magazine put it at 11 on the 75 best Christmas songs of all time. Number 11. I could sit here now and comfortably list 30 Christmas songs that are more popular than that. And does that make them better if they're more popular? I sort of suppose it does. But then this ain't a particularly good song. It doesn't feel that festive. I mean, they do the little jingle bells bit at the start that I played for you. But other than that, if it didn't have the words Christmas in it, it wouldn't feel festive at all. Anyway, that was the song, 8 Days of Christmas. Make of it what you want. I don't care. I don't listen to it. And like I say, I don't think I've really heard it on the radio, but maybe it gets played and I just haven't noticed it. I don't know. But there it was. That was a song. Something, wasn't it? Now let's do this. Boys and girls, a couple of episodes ago, I talked about my Christmas decorations at home, and that seemed to strike a bit of a note with some of you, because last episode, I got a lovely message from Ruby Holly Davies about her favourite decoration, and also, I read out the story of Frank Talley's Christmas tree decorations. Well, this episode, I was sent a message by Benji Pearson, our Scandinavian US correspondent, and this is what he's put. I wanted to send over a few of my own favourite ornaments that I shared as part of my monthly Happy Rudolph Day posts on Instagram in 2025. Here are a few of my absolute favourites. And number one is woven hearts. And do you know what? He sent a picture of a woven heart. And this is one of the ones I mentioned when I went through my favourite decorations. And I talked about one of the ones that was sent from Denmark by Bjorn Hannibal. And the one Benji's got looks almost identical to my one, apart from his is green and white, and mine was red and white. It's exactly the same. And Benji put, it's a classic Scandinavian tradition of weaving paper or felt hearts to hang on the tree, and they're filled with candies or nuts. Well, mine were never filled with candies or nuts, but now I know that's what's meant to go in there. Maybe next year I'll put some sweets in there. Now, the next one Benji mentions is Swedish straw ornaments, and he says the tradition of these dates back to the 17th century in Sweden, where peasants crafted decorations from wheat straw during the winter as symbols of hope and provision. And the one he sent a picture of is a lovely angel that was weaved out of straw. Very nice one, it is. Now, the next one is Benji's Christmas pickle collection, and he's put, I inherited this tradition from my childhood and love keeping it alive. Plus, the pickle with a face you sent me holds a very special spot on our tree. And he sent a picture of the pickles. And yep, those of you that have been listening to the show a long time will remember that a few years ago, I did offer a free handmade Christmas pickle. And I made about 20 of them that got posted out to listeners. And yeah, he sent me a picture of his lovely little pickle on the tree. Now, another category of Benji's favourite decorations is his family first Christmas commemoratives. And he says, we have milestone ornaments for our kids along with our first Christmas together ornament, which is extra special as we celebrate 20 years together this year. Congratulations, Benji. 20 years. Well done. And there's a picture there of this ornament and it looks like two hearts interlinked. And it says underneath, our first Christmas together. And the last one he mentions is a glittery nativity. And it's a lovely nativity ornament gifted by my sister Jenny, who passed away in 2017. And it's a picture of the nativity. It's a really nice picture there. In fact, all of them, really nice decorations. And I really appreciate you sending those through, Benji. So boys and girls, if you want to send some of your favourite decorations to me, do you know what? You don't even have to go into detail. Just tell me what your favourite decoration is. That's something. It would be nice if you could give me a little bit of information about it. But I'd love to hear about them. And you know what? I know the other listeners would love to hear about them as well. So thanks again, Benji. Now, we're doing this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Kostroma, Russia? Now, we are going to go through the looking glass for this show's selection, as Russia has generally tried to stamp out the Christmas holiday. New Year's is the bigger celebration because during the Soviet period, the government tried to suppress religion, including Christmas. This didn't eliminate the desire for a big winter event, so they moved all the decorated trees, the presents, and Ded Moroz, Father Frost, to New Year's Eve. After the Soviet Union ended, Christmas returned, but New Year's is still enormously popular. So why Kostroma? Well, the big reason is Snegorochka, the snow maiden. She is a Russian holiday character who is traditionally portrayed as Jet Maros's granddaughter and his helper. Kostroma has built an identity of being Snegorachka's home. Kostroma specifically markets itself as the birthplace or home of Snegorachka because Alexander Ostrovsky, who wrote the famous play The Snow Maiden, lived at his estate in the Kostroma region. There are two attractions located in central Kostroma. The first is the Snow Maiden Museum that honors Snegorachka. Visitors can meet her and experience interactive displays based on Russian myths, legends, and winter traditions with costumes and tales about the family of Jet Moros. There's even an ice room and a room of wonders. You can also find the Snow Maiden's house there. It is a traditional Russian wooden tower known as a terem that is associated with old Russian architecture and folklore. It is an ornately carved fairy tale house with steep roofs, decorative window frames, bright colors, and elaborate woodwork. Her residence is described as grand and magical, so if Santa has the North Pole workshop, then Jet Maros and his family, they have something closer to a Russian wooden mansion. Now, this complex is open all year, but especially during December and early January, when it is decorated for the holiday and features theater programs and winter excursions. Kostroma is also one of the historic cities of Russia's Golden Ring, that famous tourist route that features some of the best examples of traditional Russian architecture, Orthodox churches, monasteries, Kremlins, and medieval towns. So if you know of another alternative location filled with fairy tale friends and fantastic folklore, will you narrate it for Jack? He'll recite it to me, and we'll tell you where to find Christmas around the world.
So again, I have no idea what Bob's talking about this episode because I'm recording this before he sent it to me. But well done, Bob. Thank you so much. And boys and girls, don't forget to listen to Bob's podcast, Festive Foreign Film Fans. The link's in the show notes. You're beautiful. Now let's do this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, it's time for the quiz. Your favourite part, my favourite part, everyone's favourite part. Like I said earlier, I'm recording this a bit later than normal, so if you didn't get your scores in early, then you might have missed the window. But don't let that upset you. Or do let it upset you. It's your life. Be upset if you want. You know, you'll get over it. I hope you do. I don't want it to ruin your life. Let's put it that way. So, let's look at the scores from last week. Everyone did pretty well. No one got less than half. So that's good. Well done. I say no one. Maybe people did, but they just didn't want to email in because they did so badly. I don't know. Anyway, with 6 points, we've got David Ferguson, Jennifer Kay, Jack Unverfirth, and Mary Pulte. With 7 points, we've got Martin Goodman, Pamela Wootton, John Gomez, and Brian McGloin. Now, here's the thing. I got an email from Caroline Cole saying she either scored 7 or 7.5 because one of the questions was, there's an animated special in the UK called Father Christmas, and it was made by the same people that made The Snowman, which is the UK's main Christmas animation that we'll show every year. This usually gets shown as well alongside it. And I said it was taken from two books, and you had to give me the names of those two books. And one of the books was called Father Christmas, and the other one was Father Christmas Takes a Holiday. Well, Caroline Cole thinks she deserves half a point for putting Father Christmas. Do you know what? I don't want to be a Grinch about this. Why don't I just give you the half a point? Yeah, take it. Take it and be happy. With 8 points, we've got Nick Cole, Frank Talley, Benji Pearson, and Todd Pulte. Now, I believe this is the first time that Todd Pulte has actually beaten Mary Pulte. Now, I know they've drawn a couple of times. They've scored the same, but I think this is the first time Todd has scored more. So congratulations, Todd. Well done for getting 8 points. With 9 points matching me, we've got Mike Westville, Nicola McLean, and Dave McRae, who we heard from earlier. No one scored 10, though. But well done for everyone. Well done for sending in your score. But now let's see how you do this time. So, boys and girls, this episode's quiz. I keep telling you this, and you're probably sick of hearing it, but the book goes in categories, okay? And we're still in the same category, and it's pretty bad, actually, because they ask a lot of questions about the same things. But don't let that bother you, or at least try not to let it bother you. So, all these questions are about Christmas animations of one form or another. Question number one. Who voiced the Grinch in the animated movie The Grinch? Fairly simple, yeah? Question number two. In what year was Frosty the Snowman first broadcast in the USA? Any ideas? No? Tough. Right, next one. Where does Jack Skellington live in The Nightmare Before Christmas? Where does he live? In a shed? In a grave? I'm looking for the name of the area. I don't need his postcode or his zip code, as you might call it. I don't need that. I'm looking for the area, okay? Don't have to describe his abode. Okay, next one. What ran over Grandma in the 2000 animation and the famous song? What was it? Right, next one. What is the name of the magician in the Christmas special Frosty the Snowman? Now, here's the thing, boys and girls. It actually says, what is the name of the magician in the... And then it gives the year of the Christmas special Frosty the Snowman. So I could have given you that and you would have got a clue. Now, I won't lie to you, kids. I know now that I got the year wrong and I can't remember the blooming magician's name. I'm hoping it comes to me before the end of the quiz. Okay, next one. In the 1964 movie Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, whom is Rudolph's father? Whom? Whom is he? Okay. Next one. See, this is what I was talking about. Look, I've got another one about the Grinch. Right, this time, who voiced the narrator in 2018's The Grinch? Who was that? Do you remember that one? Yeah, I could tell you who it was in the Jim Carrey version. It was Anthony Hopkins. But who was it in the 2018 version? Okay. In Mickey's Christmas Carol, who plays the ghost of Jacob Marley? I think that's a pretty easy one. We're all familiar with that. It's a classic. Next one, which popular... Oh, this is number nine already. Goodness me, we flew through them, didn't we? What happened there? Which popular character's Christmas animation first premiered in the USA in 1965? All you got to do is cast your mind back 51 years. What were you watching on TV? Easy. And the last one, what was the name of the sequel to Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas? That's a tricky one. Okay, now here come your answers. Question number one, who voiced the Grinch in the animated movie The Grinch? Well, that was, of course, Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah, that was easy, wasn't it? I'm sure you all got that one. Okay, next one. In what year was Frosty the Snowman first broadcast in the USA? I thought it was 1964. I don't know why I thought 1964. It was 1969. Did you get that? Then you're a clever clogs. Or if you didn't, well, then you're a dumbass. It's feast or famine with me, kids. Feast or famine. Right, next one. Where does Jack Skellington live in The Nightmare Before Christmas? Do you know what? I've always loved the fact his name's Jack. Makes me feel we've got an affiliation, me and him. And he lives in Halloween Town. Okay, next one. What ran over Grandma in the 2000 animation and the famous song? Well, of course, it was a reindeer. When Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Okay, now it's another Grinch one. Who voiced the narrator in 2018's The Grinch? Well, it's a little bit trickier, isn't it? But that was Pharrell Williams or Pharrell Williams. Call him what you want. He probably won't answer because you're probably never likely to meet him. Sorry if I've blown away your dreams there, but you know, he is a celebrity. Next one. What is the name of the magician in the 1969 Christmas special, Frosty the Snowman? Do you know what? Professor, that's all I could get. Couldn't remember the rest of it. It was Professor Hinkle. It's not massively popular in the UK. I have got it on DVD though, but I don't watch it every year. Okay, next one. In the 1964 movie Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who was Rudolph's father? I was there, I went through all of them. I knew it was one of the eight, and I thought it's gotta be Dasher. I was pretty sure it was Dasher. Donna, can you believe that? Donna's a girl's name. Ask Richie Valens. Donna, oh Donna, something or other, will you be mine, is it? Oh Donna, oh Donna. Okay, no more singing about Donna, but it's a girl's name, so I'm annoyed about that. Should have gone with Dasha, then I would have got a point. Or I should have gone with Donna, and then I would have got a point. Okay, number 8. In Mickey's Christmas Carol, who plays the ghost of Jacob Marley? Whom? Easy one, wasn't it? It's Goofy. Of course it was. Easy one. Okay, next one. Which popular character's Christmas animation first premiered in the USA in 1965? My favourite. It's Charlie Brown. Excellent one. That is my favourite. I can't go a year without watching that. I won't lie to you, kids. Occasionally, I've gone a whole Christmas without watching It's a Wonderful Life. I don't think I've gone a year without watching Muppet's Christmas Carol, but I will never, ever go a year without watching A Charlie Brown Christmas. And the last one, what was the name of the sequel to Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas? It was Twice Upon a Christmas. And I'll tell you this, boys and girls, it ain't as good as Once Upon a Christmas, because that's got the Gift of the Magi version on it. Yeah. Okay. I scored 7. Now, I'm not that disappointed about that, because 2 of those questions were about Frosty the Snowman. One was guess the year. I'm not going to guess that year. I wasn't even alive, man. The other, I should have got the Professor Hinkle bit, and I'm annoyed I didn't remember Rudolph's dad's name was Donna, but I did know it began with a D. I mean, that only gives me a 50-50 chance, because half of Santa's reindeer begin with a D, don't they? Anyway, don't forget to send me your score, boys and girls. It's very simple. One number, in an email, job done. Anyone can do it, even you. And you're beautiful. Send me your scores. Now let's do this. Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is a podcast I've just started listening to called Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith. And the summary says, celebrating crushes and unrequited loves in all their intense and embarrassing glory. Margaret Caborn Smith chats to funny people about the crushes they can't forget. And each episode is about an hour long, and she just talks to people about when they were young and who they used to fancy, whether it was celebrities or people they knew. And it's just really funny, and it's nice hearing people talk about their memories of what it was like to fancy someone that you never managed to get with. And that's something that really chimes a chord with me, because the other day, my mate WhatsApped a picture to our group, and this is all my old schoolmates, and it's a picture from over 30 years ago when we were all 16 at our leavers do, as it was called then. They call it a ball now. It wasn't a ball. It wasn't a ball at all. And 5 of us, the lads, are lined up, and it's 4 16-year-olds and a 10-year-old boy. And I'm that 10-year-old boy. And I looked at that, and it's like, that's why none of the girls were interested in me when we were at school. It's like, I don't know when I actually started to look more like a person, a grown-up, and not an adult, I mean like a teenager. I don't know, maybe I was like 20 before I started to look like a teenager. I don't know. Anyway, I can tell you, boys and girls, I was not a hit with the ladies in my younger years. I had a lot of crushes and unrequited loves. So that's why I enjoy this podcast. There's over 100 episodes out there. I listen to it on Audible, but I'm sure there's loads of other places you could find it. I'll put a link in the show notes. Check it out. It's called Crushed, and it's a lot of fun. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I want to say a big thank you to Benji Pearson for sending in about his decorations. Also to Dave McRae for getting in touch, letting me know about Same Old Lang Syne. Didn't really help, to be honest, but I appreciate the input. And of course, Bob Baker, doing a great job. And of course, I've got to say a big thank you to everyone who sent in their scores. Well done. Make sure you do it this episode. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, boys and girls, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So long.